Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Lloyd Bonafide with us from the Allied Seniors Recreational Vehicle Association. I understand you're at Burning Man in Black Rock, Nevada, but you want to talk a little bit about seniors and RVs this year, right, Lloyd?
Phil, we're asking people in cars this Labor Day weekend to keep at least one car length away from all sides of any recreational vehicle. We did ask this last year, and frankly, the response was disappointing, and that's why we had some mishaps. But again, we are asking, the ASRVA is asking, that there are safety measures for those of you in cars to take when you're near an RV. People ignored us, and they paid the consequences. And let me tell you something else, and I want to hit this as easy as I can, but you never, ever, and I speak just personally for me, don't ever tailgate me. I'm a Korean War veteran. And I think I paid a few dues.
They're a little loud there. Burning Man is a music festival?
Yeah, I'll try to move away. But
you were saying don't tailgate you?
I'm saying specifically don't ever, ever tailgate me, because I am a Korean War veteran and I will go wild. And I go wild when people tailgate me. I go wild. And we don't want to see a repeat of that. So when you see an RV... And the slogan that we're using with the ASRVA is, when you see an RV, you honor me. You don't honor you, you don't honor me.
Well, all right, so RVs are just, you give them a wide berth. You're asking people to stay away from any RV that you see this Labor Day weekend.
Well, specifically the ones driven by seniors. It's simply a safety measure, Phil. A recreational vehicle is a 20,000-pound monster that we're muscling all over the road. We have to swing wide for turns.
I've seen people trying to turn RVs, but I don't know that I've ever heard of anybody having to keep a car length distance.
Well, we don't see as well from the side of rearview mirrors, so we need a good 100 yards to make a lane change. And let me tell you something, you got a lot of idiots, and I mean they are idiots that don't know the rules on staying out of our way. And the message is, RV, honor me, because if you don't, you people in automobiles, and I say this to everyone who will be out on the roads in automobiles this Labor Day weekend, you stand to suffer serious injury, including paralysis or even loss of life.
Lloyd Bonafide with us from the ASRVA. Doesn't it also stand true for you and other RV owners to watch out?
I don't understand.
Well, doesn't it stand for you guys driving RVs to be careful of other cars?
Well, no, not really, because we have a much bigger vehicle, and if anybody in a car thinks they're going to win a battle with... I've got a Winnebago Chieftain, 20,000 pounds, which we took delivery on August 15th. And if you think you're going to win a battle with a Chieftain... let me tell you, Phil, I got some swamp land in Florida I'd like to sell you.
All right, I want to ask you a question here, Mr. Bonafide. By the way, what is Burning Man, the festival that you're at right now?
Well, it's something that only those of us who go to Burning Man understand, but it's a new age music, electronica music. It's a festival. It's a music festival we have at Black Rock every year.
All right. I've got a clipping from a Twin Falls, Idaho newspaper.
I know the story very well.
Well, there was a mother in a Windstar minivan with two kids, and this was last year. She was attempting to pass you on a two-lane highway. You're Lloyd Bonafide of Alhambra, right?
Yes, sir.
All right.
But I know this story, Phil.
Well, she claims you increased your speed to the point where she was running head-on into a truck coming the other way. So you wouldn't let her in, according to her, and she slammed on her brakes. The brakes locked. Her van sailed into the Snake River with two kids inside, and it was there were no injuries, but it was a frightening thing.
Well, let me interrupt you. Nothing you're saying has anything to do with me.
Well, she claims you sped up so as not to let her in.
Well, does she also tell you she was tailgating me? She doesn't say that, does she?
There's nothing here.
See, you'd never, ever tailgate me. I'll go medieval on you, and I mean that with the greatest of respect for people. Don't ever, ever tailgate me when I'm driving, especially when I'm driving an RV.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Got a lot going on over there, Lloyd Bonafide. With the Allied Senior Recreational Vehicle Association. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. The Allied Senior Recreational Vehicle Association is saying, once again, you say this year, if you're in a car, stay clear of any RV, because you guys are apparently not responsible for your own actions.
Oh, of course we're responsible. When it comes to cars, you get clear of us. Because I can tell you, Mr. Henry, I fought for this country in Korea, and again, I can't emphasize enough, don't you ever, ever tailgate me.
All right, so this woman sailed into the Snake River, and she claims you sped up.
I'm just saying, you saw what happened to her. Do any of your listeners really want to take a chance on that happening to them this year?
Yeah, but don't you believe that you should obey the rules of the road as well, is what I'm asking. People who are in RVs.
Mr. Henry, I want to tell you something. I was in the Korean War.
I mean, that's a simple yes or no answer.
No, I want to tell you something. When I was in the Korean War, we had R&R in Tokyo. It was 1952, and we had some money, and we went out to one of these geisha houses, and I don't want to be graphic, but I'll tell you the story. I got my pants off, and this Japanese gal got a look at it, and she started to giggle. And I still hear that giggle to this day, telling me that somehow I don't measure up. And
well, I don't want to hear about the...
But it's pertinent, sir.
All right.
And I still remember that Japanese gal giggling at it, and it says to me that I don't measure up. Well, I'll tell you what. We went out and priced the new Winnebago Chieftain, and I got a Chieftain, and Mr., I'm not small anymore. And maybe for the first time in my life, I feel like I've got something between my legs with horsepower, so... What are you asking me?
Don't you think you should observe the rules of the road?
I've earned the right to be on that road.
Well, so have other people by paying taxes.
But I paid taxes and fought for my country, so it looks like I got seniority.
You told me before the show that you drove right through a toll lane in Florida without paying, breaking the barrier arm. Is that right?
Well, let me tell you something about toll roads. They might as well stick a gun in your ribs and steal your money. I'm a veteran, and we're lobbying for the right not to pay tolls.
You ran right through a toll booth.
You know, you say it like, oh, you ran right through a toll booth. Nobody, and I'm going to tell you something, nobody drops a toll arm on me. I'll go right through it, and as I said, I'll get medieval on anybody's ass that says a Korean War veteran's got to pay his toll.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I wonder if your organization, what they would think if they heard you talking this way.
I think that all 144,000 of them would agree with me.
Let's go to Erica. Erica, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Yes, hello?
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say, what makes you think, sir, I respect elders, I was taught this, but just because you are a big vehicle doesn't mean that you rule the road.
Well, but have you ever driven an RV?
No.
All right, I'm a retired man on a...
That is irrelevant. Just follow the rules of the road.
What kind of car do you drive, ma'am?
A Jeep Grand Cherokee.
All right. Do you honestly believe that your Grand Cherokee is going to take me out?
It doesn't matter. What if I was driving around in a bulldozer? Can I run you off the road? I'm bigger than you. You can't take me now, can you?
Well, first of all, a bulldozer top speed's around 35 miles an hour, so...
That is not my point.
Well, what...
If there was such a thing as a bulldozer that went as fast as you did,
yeah.
And if you happen to be tailgating
She's
me,
talking
then
about
I can drop you off... Then I can kick you off the road?
You know,
I can put you in the lake?
Okay, if my uncle had wheels and pedals, he'd be a bicycle. But we're not talking...
Well, wait a minute. She's talking about the lady that you almost ran... The woman was trying to get around you.
I'm going to say it to you again. You never, ever tailgate me. Now, she was tailgating me. She tried to swing around me. Okay, I sped up a little bit.
You could have killed her. She was going head-on into another car.
You could have been in jail.
And she could have thread the needle, too.
What do you mean by thread the needle?
She could have gotten in... But instead, she did the right thing. She locked the brakes up and set it sailing into the Snake River, which was her only option. And I think she took the right option.
She shouldn't have even had to make that option.
You know, young lady, the only reason why you're even driving today is because a lot of guys like me went to Korea, and we fought our asses off. And
that doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
You're
gonna
tailgate me? You'll never tailgate me. Never.
It doesn't matter.
We're not talking about tailgating. We're talking about safety on the road.
Exactly.
I believe in safety on the road. That's why I say to this young lady and others listening, when you see an RV, you just better keep clear. Keep about at least one car length, and we do prefer two car lengths.
Well, that is fine, but that doesn't mean you speed up because someone is trying to pass you. You need to get over that whole tailgating thing.
I never would have done that had I not looked in my rearview mirror and I said to my wife, sweet God in heaven, she's tailgating me. Look at her playing with her life and the lives of those kids.
What's the deal with tailgating? RVs are slow, especially on an upslope, and it's easy to get in behind one and sort of just patiently wait until the guy gets some horsepower going.
All right, but you don't... So let me ask you something, Mr. Henry. Do you have your nose up someone's rear end?
Sir?
Do you have your nose up somebody's rear end?
No, I don't.
Well, that's what tailgating's like. You might as well stick your nose right up someone's crack. And I am not in favor of that at all, sir.
All right, Eric, thank you for your call. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Lloyd Bonafide. He is a spokesman for the Allied Seniors Recreational Vehicle Association. Basically, if you see an RV on the road, you stay one car length away from it on the sides and on the back. If you don't, in his words, you're going to lose that war. According to him, RVs are difficult enough to control without people. And he made this point over and over again, and I'm quoting him. He's a Korean War veteran, and you never, ever tailgate him. He almost killed a family last year in Twin Falls, Idaho, when the lady tried to get around him. He sped up. Have you ever had anybody do that to you? You're trying to get around them, and they speed up, and you got a truck coming head-on? You can kill somebody. She went right into the Snake River, and thank God nobody was hurt. And it must have been a part of the Snake River, which is a low elevation, because if you've ever seen Snake River, it's a canyon. It's like the Grand Canyon. I mean, it is a sheer drop of at least a couple of hundred feet. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Blatant homosexuality.
Well, I think that's an incredibly bizarre statement to say that people at tailgate have a latent homosexuality.
Well, let me tell you what, Mr. Henry. I spent 3 years in the United States Navy in Korea, and we saw a lot of these fruits when we'd get off the...
And I really would rather this not turn into a discussion of homosexuals. You're talking about the organization you belong to, the Allied Seniors Recreational Vehicle Association.
That's great. And we're at Burning Man this year. There's about 120 vehicles at Burning Man.
All right. And Burning Man is some festival. But in any case, you're saying keep at least one car length away from all RVs.
Yes, sir. And again, don't tailgate me because you show your colors. In my opinion, as a latent homosexual.
I think that's bizarre.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion, sir, but I will tell you this much. Somebody tailgates me, and they're going to get a face full of the mud of the Snake River like that, the one there that brought in that Windstar.
That brought in the Windstar, that mother.
Well, you can suit yourself.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Here is George. George, go ahead.
Yes, how you doing, Phil?
Good.
Let me ask that gentleman on the other line. How do you feel about truck drivers that are on the road? Do you feel an equal or different from them or what?
The truckers.
Uh huh.
They better keep their distance.
Okay.
They had better keep their distance. A lot of those guys are hopped up on pep pills.
Okay, let me tell you something before you continue, and please don't interrupt.
Well,
because,
but you know what I'm talking about. They're hopped up on the pep pills.
Okay.
You ever heard that song, 6 Days on the Road?
Yes, sir, I have.
All right.
Let me tell you this. Like you're saying you're a veteran, I'm a veteran of 26 years on the Florida highways, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I think that you and anybody else has to respect the laws of the DOT.
Well,
do you know what a DOT is?
Department of Transportation.
Okay, sir, then you know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
I don't care if you drive a motorcycle, an SUV, or an RV. You have to respect the laws.
I agree
and
I'll
tell
with
you.
You
what.
Up until a certain
you,
age.
If I see you in the Florida highways, you better not tailgate me because I'm going to lock my brakes and you're going to eat dust.
You lock your brakes up, your jackknife, and then the next thing you know, you're a ball of flame.
No, sir, because I know what I'm doing. I'm unlike you. You are an ignorant person because you don't respect the laws.
But what are you talking about? I respect the laws.
And I hope the policeman right now is listening to you so you can get arrested for taking that toll in Florida.
Let me tell you about these cops. They're not going to give a ticket to me. I'm a retired Korean
veteran. That doesn't mean nothing. You deserve a ticket like anybody else that breaks the law, sir. If you break the law, you deserve a ticket.
Sir, I'm not breaking.
And you got to respect the laws of the highway, like I do.
I agree with George, and especially truck drivers who are hauling the nation's freight. They're hauling the nation's clothing.
Oh, don't. What do you want me to start crying a little teardrop?
No, you don't have to cry a teardrop.
I mean, the truckers, truckers are hauling 18 wheels worth of freight that you don't think you can see out of a side mirror. These guys have got to do all kinds of things.
You know, I've been listening to this boo-hoo song and dance about truck drivers. Let me tell you this much. I think the truckers are great guys. But if you come near me, you're going to have suddenly you won't be driving on a highway. You'll be out on dirt road going, how did I get here?
You're going to be right along me then.
You're going to be along me or along any other truck driver
if you go to the zone that you're not supposed to be there.
Hey.
We have more blind spots than you have with your RV. Did you know that?
Well, you know what? If you see the rear bumper of a Winnebago Chieftain and you want to give me a little nudge with the front of your car, just like those fellas who have the butt fetish? Is that what you're saying?
No, sir.
What I'm telling you, that we have less view on our blind spots than you guys have with an RV. I know you have a blind spot, but we have five times more difficulty able to see.
Well, there ain't nothing blind about me, brother. I see. I read you pretty clear.
How old are you, sir?
I'm 69 years of age.
Okay, you shouldn't even be driving, especially with your attitude.
Oh, really? See, now that's the kind of thing that pisses me off.
No, you shouldn't be driving. I look at it this way. Anybody over 65 years old ought to get checked 2 to 3 times a year.
If they
can't see or they can't handle the road, put them out. They're out of commission. That's it. You shouldn't drive.
Now I'm pissed off.
What are you pissed off about?
That whole crack about me being too old.
I didn't say you were too old.
You said you ought to be tested after a certain age for your motor skills. Thank you very much, George.
You're welcome.
1-800-449-8686. This is Jack on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, hello. This is Jack.
Yes, sir.
From Austin, Texas.
Yes, sir.
I'm driving all the way up from Austin, Texas to Miami, Florida. And I think that everybody's being too kind to that guy. There's something mentally wrong with him.
Mentally wrong? Wait a second.
If you're 69 years old, first of all, you should be old enough not to be acting like a child on the highway.
I'm not acting like a child.
And just hold on a second, buddy. Just like the man that just called in, now he's going to run you off the road, and you're going to run him off the road. And what if somebody runs somebody that's doing nothing off the road over games like this and kills a family? I mean, what's wrong with you? You can't make terroristic threats.
Have you ever heard of collateral damage? I'm sure you've heard of collateral damage.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
And I'm out there, and I'll tell you something else. 1952, I went to one of these geisha houses in Tokyo.
Yeah, you told me about that story. And I bet you're about 5'6" also, aren't you? You've got the short man's disease. Is that correct?
Short man disease? No, look at
that. Is that correct? How tall are you?
Yes, I am. I'm 5'7.5".
Okay, you got the short man's disease. You're short in the pleasing the women department, and you're like a lunatic out on the highway.
I mean,
you can end up killing an innocent family.
You said a Japanese geisha girl laughed at you.
Nobody. I dropped my pants and she giggled. I got the Winnebago now, and let me tell you what, I'm not.
The guy's right. You need a mental hospital.
Why do you say that?
You're running people off the road because some Japanese geisha giggled at you in 1952.
When I dropped my pants, you don't think that's significant?
What are you going to do when you kill somebody innocent over this acting like a child? You're just out for attention. You're not even
serious.
I'm not
trying to kill anybody, but I'll tell you this much. At least I won't feel inadequate like that Japanese woman made me feel.
All right, hold on. Thank you for your call, sir. 1-800-449-8686. Lloyd Bonafide says in his Winnebago, we ought to be able to run you off.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And you don't think you have an anger management problem? Tell my audience what you just told me. Mr. Lloyd Bonafide is on with me from the Allied Senior Recreational Vehicle Association.
what I just told you.
Go ahead. Tell my audience.
I said one of the most glorious moments in my life, other than my service to this country and the United States Navy, was two summers ago. My wife and I were on Interstate 80. We're going through Wyoming. And this turkey, who had been tailgating me, finally swung around, and he tossed me a bone.
Now, when you say tossed you, when he flipped you the finger?
He gave me the finger. That's right. And I said, brother, you're in it now. And I reached over, and my wife had our cat, Pepper, in her lap. He is a Burmese, a black Burmese. I grabbed this cat. The guy, and here's the interesting part, this guy was in a convertible. And I threw the cat at him. And I will tell you...
I'll say, so let's add cruelty to animals.
Mr. Henry, could I be allowed to finish?
No, but let's add cruelty to animals to what you've done.
I threw this cat, and that GD thing landed on this guy's head. And you... I'll tell you, you should have seen this guy swerving all over the road trying to pry that cat off of his face.
Cruelty to animals.
No, sir, because the cat was fine. The guy pulled off and he apologized. And he gave us the cat back.
I think that's an anger management problem.
Well, it might be, but I think it. Why did he apologize?
I don't know. Maybe he thought you were nuts. 1-800-449-8686. John, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, sir.
I myself am an 18-year veteran of both the active and reserve United States Air Force.
God bless you.
And I too, sir. Thank you. And you. And I too, sir, am a combat veteran. I've served in Panama. I've served in the Gulf War. I've also served in Somalia. And I hope that the rest of the listeners to this show realize that you do not speak for the vast majority of the veterans of this country.
Sir, you and I,
and countless millions of other men and women in this country have served this country well
and very
for
proudly.
One thing and one thing only, and that's for the right of all of us to live in a society governed by laws. Those who drive recreational vehicles as well as automobiles have a responsibility to obey all the laws of this country, including traffic laws, and those that advocate the use of force, as you do, to deal with those
need a reality check.
John, I want to ask a question.
Yes.
This guy grabbed a cat, threw it out a window.
You have to understand, Milo, a combat veteran, and it's the instinct that a veteran has.
Sir, I understand that you're a combat veteran, as am I. Then the gentleman is correct.
That is not normal behavior,
sir.
What is?
Throwing a cat at a moving vehicle is not normal behavior.
Well, I fell back on combat training.
No, that's an anger management thing.
Excuse me, Mr. Andrew. You ever heard of throwing a hand grenade
Yeah, a hand grenade. You were in the Navy.
And we took training. And
sir, with a vehicle...
I looked around for a weapon, and the only thing I could see was the cat.
Sir, as a combat veteran, you should understand as well, then, that you only react that way in a life-threatening situation.
This guy
the gentleman driving by you, flipping you off, is not a life-threatening situation.
It was a hostile move, and...
What do you mean you looked around for a weapon?
The only thing that I could see was the potentiality of what you would call a cat bomb or the animal life. And let me tell you what, this thing got all over his face, everything.
Sir, I really hope that the rest of the members of your organization do not behave and act on the roads as you're advocating. If they do, most of them will eventually either wind up in accidents that could either kill themselves or other people,
or will wind up
in a jail cell.
John, you
were
in the Air Force.
That's not normal.
You were in the Air Force. You know how beautiful it looks to see a air-to-surface missile, the beauty of ordnance and weaponry functioning properly. You had to be there to see that cat flying through the air and then just sucking onto the guy's head.
Sir, 18 years of experience serving this country has also taught me that there is a time and a place for that kind of activity when lives are at stake in a situation of combat and war.
So you
that would, is not normal.
So you would agree with throwing a cat if it was life-threatening? That's all I'm trying.
Oh, wait a minute.
Mr. Henry,
sir,
I'm talking to another veteran.
There are other ways. That situation you've described is certainly
but
not life-threatening.
What if it was life-threatening? Would you throw a cat?
If
this
it's life-threatening, sir, you do whatever it takes to preserve life and limb. That was not a situation that required that kind of activity.
What if this guy would have swung around me, flipped me the boat, and then winked at me in a feminine manner, challenging my masculinity? Would that have constituted the use of a cat bomb or something?
No, sir, that would not
That's
have.
That's just a bunch of baiting that guys do to each other.
That
John,
would not
thank you.
Have.
Thank you, John. 1-800-449-8686. That man's a veteran, okay?
That's right. So he knows a lot about... Okay, hold on for a minute. All right, Phil, Saturday night we're going to be having the Burning Man, and they want me to set up my booth here. I've got... we've pulled our awning out. We've set up a quick fix station for a lot of the people here.
You're at Burning Man?
Yes.
Now, where is that?
We're in Black Rock, Nevada, and you can come out to see... Trailer out here. Each year a theme is chosen for different works of art.
What is a quick fix station that you have right now?
Well, we are serving, we've got Bacardi and Coke, and you take a Tylenol 3, and let me tell you what, you'll see colors.
1-800-449-8686. Here's Caroline on the Phil Henry Show. Caroline?
Yeah.
Hi, Caroline. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Did
I'm a Burning Man.
That idiot just say Bacardi and Coke and a Tylenol 3?
Who am I speaking with? This is Lloyd Bonafide, please. Hello?
Lloyd, my name is Caroline.
Yes, and ma'am. Did you just call me an idiot?
Yes, I did, sir. Now,
see, now that pisses me off.
Right,
well,
Let the lady talk.
I have been listening to you, sir, as quite a few people, so now it's my turn.
Uh-huh.
You have given us all quite a giggle and have pissed us all off for quite some time. Sir, you have used and abused this radio show to get some sort of warped message out to your public, if you will.
You know, you sound like you could use a Bacardi and Coke and a Tylenol.
Sir,
thing.
Is your position with this RV organization an elected position?
I was appointed a public a public relations spokesman for the Allied Seniors Recreational Vehicle Association. Did you just get up from a nap, or
will you just let the woman finish?
All right.
So it is not an elected position.
No, ma'am, it is not.
Excuse me?
No, ma'am, it is not.
So who are you?
Set the pen up over there. Go ahead.
Who appointed you into this position?
Bob Meelman. That's spelled M-E-E-L-M-A-N. Bob Meelman.
Well, I don't need to know the names, but it's an appointed position, so you could be taken out of
correct.
This position. At any time.
That is correct, yes. I suppose if they were stupid, they would take me out of this position. But I'm getting the message out.
I don't have any idea why any organization that represents A, senior citizens, and B, senior citizens that drive would have
I know what you're getting at.
Representative of their organization.
I know what you're getting at. I threw the cat as a last resort.
I'm not talking about the cat, sir.
Caroline, did you party last night?
No, sir. I don't drink, sir.
Yeah, have you ever had a rum and coke?
All right, well, we stick to the point here, please. So, Caroline, you think that the guy...
She has no problem with me throwing the cat.
Do you have any problem?
Actually, sir, I have a big problem with you throwing the cat. I have a very big problem with the fact that you keep referring to the Korean War as if it's some sort of a badge to be worn, as you're the only person that went to Korea. I lost a lot of friends in Vietnam, and I could really... You know what, sir? I wish that you had stayed in Korea, because...
Stayed in Korea?
Lord knows... We certainly don't need you here.
Are you kidding me? I fought for this country. I came back and started one of the most successful heating and plumbing businesses in the San Gabriel Valley. I had a daughter and a grandson. My wife and I retired 4 years ago. I sold the business to my son-in-law. I'm here at Burning Man. I've had 2 rum and cokes and 2 Tylenol 3s, and I feel great. And I'm sorry that I threw a cat at a man's head, but he tossed me a bone, and a man doesn't do that to a Korean War veteran. Nobody. And I mean, no, I don't care if it's Jesus Christ himself, you don't tailgate me. And I'll tell you something else, Caroline, that you may not like. I don't have my clothes on right now.
You know, he thinks it's a big joke, huh?
Yeah, you know
that's
what?
One of the things you do at Burning Man.
This radio show has given you a large gift.
Have my clothes on because that's what we do at Burning Man. It's not sexual.
Well, you know, if I were anywhere near the lady, if I were anywhere near you, I would try as hard as I could to imitate that Korean woman because you are a joke, sir. You
Wait
are an absolute joke.
I'll tell
and
you this much.
You have taken advantage of this radio station, and you have really taken advantage of me as a new listener,
Caroline,
and you have offended people in general.
Wait a minute. When I lost weight, my
And let me ask you a question.
Bigger.
You said that you threw the cat, you looked around for a weapon, and that cat, Pepper, was sitting on your wife's lap.
That is correct.
Wouldn't it have been easier just to pick your wife up and throw her through the window?
No, it wouldn't have. She weighs much more, and I happen to love my wife very deeply.
But you're a Korean War veteran. You're in shape.
I don't
you
see
You should be able to pick up anything.
The cat has claws. It's more mobile. When you use a cat in a defensive
Sir,
situation...
you are an absolute ass. And I hope that enough mental health people and enough people in
thing,
law
Caroline,
enforcement
well,
have listened to this conversation, and by the end
window.
Of it, somebody will send some sort of a vehicle with a straitjacket to your location and
right.
take you away for a very, very long time. Because Lord knows, the general population of this planet does not need to be subjected to
my
you.
My wife would not have fit out the window if you thought about that comment. You'd realize what a stupid comment it was. How do you throw a full-grown woman... out of a...
Oh, come on. You're the guy that tossed a cat.
You are not listening, sir.
Well, I'm not going to throw my wife, the mother of my daughter, out a window just so she can do the splits on some guy's head.
Okay. I've heard about enough. The Allied Seniors Recreational Vehicle Association, huh?
What?
Is that the name of your organization?
What? Say it again.
The Allied Seniors Recreational Vehicle Association.
Do they have a contact number, sir?
Yes, they do. The number is 213-251-318... no, excuse me. 213-251... What is the number? I forget what the number is. Can you put it up for me, anybody? No. I don't have it here.
Okay. You can go rot in hell because I gave you that number. Look, most guys don't complain when you throw a pussy at them, so...
Okay, that's all I wanted. That's fine. Thank you very much, Caroline.
Okay. Thanks.
Did you get the joke, Carolina?
Oh, God. I looked around for a weapon, and I saw my wife's cat. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous, one and only Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, everybody. My name is Lloyd Bonafide, and I really don't exist. I'm a voice that is done by the host of the program, Phil Hendry, and here he is.
Thank you, Lloyd. And yes, I did do the voice of Lloyd Bonafide. I am Phil Hendry. Lloyd, what is Burning Man, by the way? Seriously.
Well, I don't know because I don't exist. I'm not there. And if you don't know, I don't know.
All right. You could have read, or I could have read.
You could have read and done my voice.
Right. Burning Man is, who cares? It's an annual experiment in temporary community
Dedicated to radical self-expression and radical self-reliance.
Check out what is
Burning Man
on this website for more information. Read the other articles on this site and visit
other websites for a broader understanding of the Burning Man
event. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. From yesterday's show, Ted Bell was on. Ted's of Beverly Hills is his restaurant. Ted's a very wealthy guy. How long is this? Are we going to have time for this? No, we won't have time. Oh, look at that. I shouldn't have done the whole Lloyd disclaimer. It's 4 minutes? There's no way. Well, yeah, there is.
No,
because
it'll be 8 by the time we're done with it. We're done at
57.50. Oh, 57. Okay, forget it. All right, well, we'll do the Ted flashback. We can't do it in the 6. That's when we aired Ted yesterday. We can do it in the 5. We can do a Bobby flashback. Is Bobby? Bobby's from the 4. We'll have to do them both in the 5. How about that? Well, let me give you an opportunity to hear about our Vegas trip. You know, everybody's at Burning Man. Forget Burning Man. Forget walking around nude with a Bacardi and Coke. Come on out to the Phil Henry Show live at the Luxor Las Vegas Party, September 27th through the 29th. Our weekend will kick off on Friday the 27th with a Henry Happy Hour and a live broadcast of our radio show. And there are too many more unusual things in radio than watching us perform this show. On Saturday night, we'll have a Luxor Amazing Raw Nightclub Blues and Brews Party. Now, this nightclub, the Raw, is going to be reserved for just Phil Henry Show listeners, just people who have the VIP invitation who bought the Phil Henry Show package. You can hang out with me. We'll be entertained by a live blues band. You'll also have, of course, lodging for two for Friday and Saturday night at the Luxor Las Vegas. You get two passes to the Oasis Spa. You get two tickets to the King Tut Museum. And everybody attending will have a special gift package from me. This is worth over $500, but we're selling it to you and you only because you're a pal for $348. Now, in order to assure your place with me at the Luxor Las Vegas, call the Luxor Las Vegas reservation line right now at 1-800-288-1000. 1-800-288-1000. Tell them you want the Phil Henry package. Additional nights at standard rack rates are available to purchase before or after, but this is the only time you're going to get this rate and this much fun at the Luxor for this price, $348. You got to be 21 years of age or older to book. 1-800-288-1000. Ask for the Phil Henry package. There's a limited number of packages, so make your reservations now because it's going to be something else. It's going to be tight. September 27th to the 29th at the Luxor in Las Vegas. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. Pick up a backstage pass. I've got a few additions to our wall of female listeners, so check them out. If we only have 34 women that listen to this show. And we got some new audio today up on the audio archive. So with a backstage pass, all of that stuff is available to you. PhilHenryShow.com. That's PhilHenryShow.com.
Now, Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, it's time now for one of our listeners to check in with their view of a popular movie that's out, and we do this every week. We have a listener. We sort of assign a movie to a listener, and we have this gentleman is Vernon Dozier from South Pasadena is on the line with us, and hold on for a minute. I don't think we have him yet, so... By the way, our number, 1-800-449-8686. Is he on his car phone? Because I think his car phone might have crapped out here. So let me just make sure that I've got him up and running. Sorry, folks. We had a technical malfunction here. 1-800-449-8686. So we have Vernon Dozier. We'll get him up. He is a listener of ours who has looked into... do we have Mr. Dozier now? All right. Vernon, are you there?
Right here, Phil.
Okay. You saw My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yes, I did.
Tell us about it.
Well, I think this film, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, seems to think that upper lip hair on women is funny. And as men, we know the truth, that there is frankly nothing more disgusting. And all through this movie, they make lip hair jokes. You have to understand that these are Greek women. These are women from the Mediterranean country of Greece, or they're actually Greek-Canadian women. They are bleaching their upper lip hair. There's a lot of references to that, a lot of underarm hair.
So you're talking about Greek-Canadian women with lip hair.
Well, the movie is about Greek women, but as I sat there watching this horror unravel before my eyes, I give you some idea. I grew up in Miami, and we have a great many wonderful Hispanic people in Miami and from the Caribbean and elsewhere, and there are a great many people that they know their, you know, they're fine people. They know their place. They're well-behaved. But the minute you start liking them, you're reminded of the upper lip hair on the women. It's kind of a shadow under the nose, and I had to leave town to get away from it. I met my...
Now, you saw this movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and you're focusing in on the dark upper lip hair of Greek women?
No, but again, I'm talking about Hispanic women, Greek women. My wife, Carrie, is of Northern European extraction, so she doesn't have this problem. And she also has acquiesced to my wishes. She shaves her body hair. I can't stomach it. I literally can go days without eating after seeing a woman with dark lip hair.
So... The movie's about families, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but you can't get past these Greek women with, you know, the hair. They just have hairy faces.
Then this is a good movie? It's a good thing the movie came out?
I think it is.
All right, because why?
Because it alerts. I think it reminds us why we're different from the rest of the world as Americans and as Canadians, and why our country is worth saving. We appreciate beauty. And let me tell you something. This dark lip hair thing isn't limited to Greeks and Italians. Arabs, okay? Does that ring a bell? Arabs. Some of the hairiest women. Oh, Jesus.
All right. If you need to get some water or something.
Yes, thank
you. 1-800-449-8686. One of our listeners, Vernon Dozier from South Pasadena, went to see My Big Fat Greek Wedding and is fixating on the dark...
I'm back, Phil. Forgive me. The film is about a lot of people having a party, but I think where it falls down is it tries to give the impression that dark lip hair on women is somehow attractive, and I think that's going to explode in their faces.
Well, why do you think the movie is so popular?
Well, because I think want to see why our country is great. And you look, I worked for an oil company in the 70s, and you see these hairy apes. And
well, you know, a lot of what you're saying, if I could, almost sounds racist.
How?
Because it impugns something that women can't do anything about.
It's not racist.
Well, that's what it sounds like.
Well, it's decency. American women deal with it, okay? They do what they have to get rid of it. There's a little thing that maybe you've heard about. It's been in all the papers. It's called electrolysis. You might also have...
Yes, sir, I've heard of it.
You might also have heard of a little thing that they came out with a while back that been in the newspapers called waxing. There's nair, there's plucking. This isn't a secret to American women, but Ukrainian women, Greek women, Armenian women, Arab women, they walk around with black hair on their upper lip because they hate us, they hate what we stand for, they hate everything about this country, and I don't see any entertainment value in women who have the capability... of having a milk mustache or just food clinging to the hair on their upper. It's just shag rug on their cake hole, and let's not forget the underarm.
You mentioned your wife. Let me give her phone number out here. 1-800-449-8686.
I'd rather not talk about my wife, though.
No, but you brought her up, and I don't want to mention her in an unflattering way. 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier talking about My Big Fat Greek Wedding, a movie that's very popular among women, but you can't get past the fact that the women are Greek and they all have dark hair on their upper lips.
That is right, and they make a point of pointing it out. See, if they could have covered it up, but one of them tries to bleach it,
All right, you mentioned your wife being younger than you.
That is correct, but she's also very fair-skinned, so she doesn't have the mustache like a lot of these Greek women have.
But you may deny it, but it does sound racist.
No, it is not. It is a personal preference. Let me explain to you, Mr. Henry. I'm 51 years of age, just so you know. And my wife is 24. And when I met her and we started dating, she dragged me to this deal, and I don't know if you've heard of it, called Lilith Fair.
Yes, it's a thing of a lot of female artists.
All right. Well, you can call it that if you want. What it is a congregation of lesbians and feminists, and these people don't shave their legs. They have the lip hair and all of the armpit. And I thought that...
Are you all right?
I'm fine. And I thought I was going to be physically ill. And through it all, these women, pianos screeching out hatred for anything with a penis. And, Mr. Henry, I will tell you this. The lesbian feminist juggernaut doesn't want your wife, my wife, any woman... to shave themselves. And when we got home, besides telling her I would never go to anything like that again, I handed her my Remington and I pointed to the bathroom and I said, "You get in there and you shave." And
so this all started with my big fat Greek wedding.
No, for me it didn't start there, but I'm convinced that the film was made by a cabal of lesbian feminist female bisexual lobby and the Washington Hermaphrodite Congress, and I, to me, that's what's going on.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. As we talk, I thought about my big fat Greek wedding. You're talking about disgusting dark lip hair on women.
Which, again, they celebrated in this movie because the women were bleaching it, and they pointed it out.
In other words, they focused on it.
They focused on it in the film, and as a result, I couldn't appreciate this movie. But I began to think about other women with dark lip hair, and I began to think about, bingo, what do you think I thought about?
Sir, I don't know.
Just take a guess.
I don't know.
Arabs. Arab women. Then I thought about Persian women. And then it suddenly dawned on me that Arab women, Persian women, all of them, have hairy legs, armpit hair, everything. And to me, I thought I was going to be sick when I thought about this, but I realized that I was onto something. You've got lesbians and feminists, and now you have the Arab lobby, and none of them want your wife to shave her legs. And maybe that's why they wear burkas. I don't know. But I think that there is a real danger here and that women are losing their femininity.
All right, well, that's an interesting... Women are losing their femininity because they've got dark lip hair and they don't shave their legs.
That, well, the shaving the legs thing, but absolutely. And to celebrate it, I think, is wrong. I think that we have, we're better than that. We're better people than that. I'll tell you right now, we do have a tradition in this country of being mostly Northern Europeans. And
well, sir, we're a multicultural country.
Well, I know that, but we do have a tradition of being mostly Northern European. And with the influence of the Greeks and the Italians and all of these people that come from down there, now you got all the dark lip hair, and this is what's going on.
All right. 1-800-449-8686, the number here on The Phil Hendry Show. Well, that's an interesting comment. We are traditionally a Northern European nation, and now with all the Greeks and the Italians and the Arabs, now all the women feel it's okay to have dark lip hair. In the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, I guess they're bleaching it. Or whatever it is they do. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Go ahead. What was your point? I'm talking with Vernon Dozier here, who went and saw My Big Fat Greek Wedding, which is a movie, right? What was your point?
Well, I'm going to tell you that the Big Fat Greek Wedding film is propaganda, and that it's trying to tell women that they can succeed in America with hair on their face.
Because there were hairy-looking women in this movie.
Yes.
Now, is this movie, this is a popular movie?
Yes, it's my wife never shuts up about it. Every woman that I ever talk to never shuts up about it.
How much, so people have gone to see this?
Well, I don't understand why you're asking me this.
Well, the reason why is because we've got no phone calls here. Nobody cares about what you're talking about.
Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Henry. I've listened to talk radio for many years, and I know you have someone in there who's screening your phones, and he's probably not... letting the calls through.
No, he's not that he's not letting the calls through. Nobody cares. Nobody's calling about women with dark upper lip hair.
All right. Well, then how about if I tell you that in my opinion, the Arab women.
Yeah, you got into the Arab women, and you also went into a great detail about how upper lip hair is the result of a cabal of lesbian feminists and the hermaphrodite caucus in Washington.
And you're calling me crazy.
I'm not calling you crazy. I'm just simply saying that in this country with electrolysis and with the very things you said, waxing, women don't give a crap. They can go out and get their upper lip hair removed.
Then why do we allow film to invade our movie theaters that celebrates some swarthy Greek?
See, you're all frustrated about this. I don't think a lot of guys care. I don't think probably a lot of women care.
I will tell you this much. The feminist bisexual lobby...
And there's no feminist bisexual lobby.
Well, you go to Lilith Fair. You go to Lilith Fair, and you look at the hair, the leg hair. Jesus. And then you look me in the eye and tell me that there isn't some kind of a conspiracy to get women to grow hair on their face.
Lilith Fair is Lilith Fair. I don't know that every woman in America even knows what that is. The fact that... Hold on for a minute. What, David?
What are you guys doing?
David.
Who's this?
My name is David G. Hall. I happen to be the vice president of syndication.
I'm trying to explain that...
What? Try to explain what? What are you doing?
This guy is a...
What is he?
He's a listener who went and saw my big fat Greek wedding.
What is that?
It's a movie.
I never heard of it.
You never heard of my big fat Greek wedding?
No, I never heard of it. What are you doing? What are you doing? Hold on. What is your name?
Vernon Dozier.
Can you hold on for a minute?
Certainly.
Phil?
Yeah?
What are you doing?
I had a guy go out...
You had a guy go out and see a movie called My Greek what?
My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
What is that? What is it?
It's a movie that...
That's popular?
Yeah, I think so.
My ass! I don't know anybody that's seen it. I don't know anybody that knows what it's about. I don't know anybody that could tell you the plot. And on top of that, you guys are talking about what? Lip hair? Do you know you've got men listening to your show?
Yes, I do, but...
Do you realize that you've got men listening to you? If you want to talk about women, don't talk about their lip hair. Put the guy back on.
Mr. Dozier?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Hall?
Mr. Dozier, David Hall.
Yes, sir.
You're a great guy, and I'm sure Phil likes you very much. We won't be needing you.
But I wanted to get into the lesbian cabal with the...
With the hermaphrodite caucus?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we won't need any of that. Thank you very much.
But, sir, I was asked...
Oh, look, let me jump in here. Dean, you did a very good job, and we're done talking.
Well, what about taking phone calls and everything?
He doesn't have any phone calls. You understand? There's no phone calls. No one gives an ape's butt about what you got to talk about.
Okay, your name is David what?
My name is David G. Hall.
Could you spell that?
Could I spell it? H-A-L-L.
All right, sir, I have never been spoken to.
Look, can I jump in?
No, let the guy hard-ass me. What you want to say?
I've never been spoken to in such a way, sir. I was going to come on and talk about the Arab cabal, which is...
Yeah, growing lip hair on women in America, is that it?
And the Greek,
And the Greek fat, big, hairy wedding. Is that what you guys are calling it? Let's just call it my big, fat, hairy Greek wedding, for all you guys are talking about.
Well, I have never...
Look, Mr. Dozier, I appreciate you being on, and we've covered all of this, and we can go now.
What about the phone calls?
This guy doesn't listen.
Well, sir, we have very little interest in... We have very little interest in what you're talking about.
There's nobody calling on a radio show that's got 70, 80, 90 affiliates on any given day. I don't know which it is today. Nobody calling.
Well, I think you're liars.
Well, look, trust me, okay? There's just,
Jeez, get this guy out of here.
Mr. Dozier, I
demand to be allowed to remain on.
Get him out of here!
I'm going to hang up on you. Thank you very much, sir.
Is he gone?
Yes.
All right, now you listen to me and you listen good. Don't you ever, ever put some guy on to talk about some movie that only a broad goes to see called My Hairy-Ass Greek Wedding. Do you know that we've got FCC guidelines? Do you know those two monkeys that got fired in New York?
What's that got to do with...
Do you know them?
I know of them, yeah.
And you got a guy talking about my big, hairy Greek wedding.
There's nothing against the FCC guidelines about that.
Nothing about the FCC guidelines, huh? I think it's a metaphor for something else. And I don't know anybody that ever seen this movie, and I sure as hell don't know guys that want to talk about some broad's upper lip hair. Is Janice there?
Yes, she's in the other room.
I'm going to want to talk to her after the show.
Janice, he wants to...
I'm sure she heard me.
Well, I...
Have you got any more material?
Yeah, I got some stuff I can do.
Then get to it. My big fat Greek wedding. Oh!
Hey, Mr. Henry? Hold on, Bud, okay?
Is Bud there?
Yes, he is. Hold on, you guys. Can I get some water?
Go get your water.
I'm upset. Hold on for a minute. I'm upset primarily that you would jump in here.
Mr. Hall, hold on, Phil. I got a list of interesting topics for you.
Yeah, Bud's got the list of topics for you, Phil. I'd like you to look at some of those and see if you can't come up with something, anything, this hour, that people are going to be interested in besides you talking about somebody's hairy Greek ass. For all this stuff that I pay you, all the time you spend, Bud, where are the topics?
I got it right here, Mr. Hall. Yep. Here's one of them, Mr. Henry. I think you'll like this topic.
Okay, lay it on me.
That's pretty good, Bud.
I thought you'd enjoy it.
So that's supposed to be funny, huh?
Let me tell you something. That fart that Bud just cut is more interesting than anything you've done over the last half hour with my hairy Greek ass.
Big fat Greek wedding.
Oh, well, excuse me. Hey, Bud, you got another topic?
I don't need another topic.
Go give him one.
I got one right here.
So this is where we've reduced ourselves, huh? Because an interview bombed out.
Bombed out? You didn't get one phone call on that bit.
I got another topic. What do you think of that one?
Okay, David.
Yeah?
If you don't get him out of here, I'm going to commit physical violence against him.
Better split, Bud.
Come on, you'll be sorry.
And as far as the top, I don't know, okay?
Why did you do that?
Because my wife can't shut up about my big fat Greek wedding.
Your wife? Your wife?
Yes, and I thought it was...
You made the mistake of listening to your wife tell you that my big fat Greek wedding was a big movie, huh?
She thought it was very interesting.
And therefore you thought that your audience, which is mostly men, would be interested in something about some fat Greek broad with black upper lip hair.
Yeah, I guess so.
Phil, you know something? One more interview like that, we'll bust out that chicken suit again.
1-800-449-8686. You're listening.
That's comedy.
You're listening to The Phil Henry Show.
Henry Show.
I'm going to bring on now Janice Ngero, who is the producer of our show. Now, Janice is a great producer. Here's why. Because she knows how to write comedy. She knows how to write funny stuff. She herself is a former performer on the radio. She's also a stand-up comedian of some great note. In other words, she isn't like, you know, Dickhead the producer who gets coffee and books Anna Nicole Smith. She has a creative ability. In other words, what I'm trying to say is she's so 180 degrees opposite of Chris Pelton that it just boggles the imagination. And yet, every now and again, she fails.
See, there's a reason why you're bringing me in here, and I'm not exactly
And
sure
the reason why I'm bringing you in is because we just did a half hour on my big, fat Greek wedding and women's upper lip hair. And the reason why we did that half hour was because of you and your suggestion to do it. Your idea that it might make a good bit. You'll notice I had nothing to do with it.
No, I know. I'd like to. We should go back. We should go back about 2 hours and just realize that my thought was to bring my big fat Greek wedding into it. I believe it was your thought to bring in the upper lip hair.
Because I knew that no one really cared about my big fat Greek wedding. That it was a, you know, I don't even know why I green-lighted that bit. Because here's the idea. My Big Fat Greek Wedding is a movie that has limited appeal. It's mostly female appeal, and it's made $51 million for one, you know, for a small budget. So in that way, it's a big success. But in terms of the mainstream media and the mainstream culture, it's not that big of a hit yet. But because I felt sorry for you,
no,
and like you as a person,
no, because it's one of those cult. It's a cult movie.
It's a cult movie
that gets that underground kind of buzz. So obviously a cult.
That's what we do in a show. Underground buzz. No. That's what gets material.
No, the reason why it's popular is because it's one of those feel good kind of things that the American people need right now.
Right. This is true.
So we thought we would take advantage of that. The feel good feeling.
The problem was it's not that popular. But where I made my mistake is I should have just crap canned the bit right then. I said, you know what? I don't really think that movie is popular enough to validate any sense that it's a mainstream movie.
And lip hair is
only a good topic if it comes out of the context of something that people already know. If we just came on the air today and we started talking about black lip hair.
Yeah.
We'd have to probably do it with a whole different character and a whole different approach. I think the My Fat, Big, Fat, Hairy, whatever the name of this movie is, I think it got in the way of the lip hair thing. I think we could have had Margaret or Bobby or some other character.
Just come out and talk about lip hair.
Just come out and talk about lip hair. And that would have been a successful bit. But talking about my big, fat Greek wedding obscured the lip hair thing. It made it Greek and it made it Canadian and it made it foreign to the American experience.
No, but we were trying to incorporate the fact that immigrants coming to this country, and we were trying to
make fun of that. Yeah, that's great. Well, yeah. That's fine, because you can go in there now, and you can sit down next to Chris, and I have to sit here. No, Jess.
I believe someone should take the certain fall for a bit, and I will hold that on my shoulders.
Hold on, I think David Hall is on the line.
Janice, I want to tell you, when you write comedy, you have to understand that it's got to be from a matrix of common experience.
Now, wait a minute, David. She's a stand-up comic herself.
Would you shut up? You know what I'm saying, Janice?
No, I do, David. I just...
All right. When you write comedy, the first thing you want to be, and maybe I'm wrong, is funny. Other than that, you do a great job.
See, now he's giving you crap now.
No, I understand that, and I understand that it's just, I thought lip hair was...
You get the whole thing about being funny. All right, well, that's good. Let me give you an example of a joke. Man walks into a bar with a talking dog. He says, I'll bet you $100...
Oh, we've heard this freaking joke. What's on top of the house?
From now on, I'm going to have Bud bring you a sheet of jokes and funny ideas every morning. Let's go with that. Also, a great thing, go up to the chicks that work on the girly sheet and get some comedy writing ideas from a lot of them.
What an insult. Janice, you're the best. But I'm never going to let you talk me into some big, fat chick Greek movie thing again. Yeah, but women are great.
Why women are going to that movie.
Women are great. The only problem is they don't listen to this show. You know?
Janice, I want to say one more thing. Could you get with Silva, Mike Reagan's producer, and get some comedy writing ideas from her?
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be a really great idea. Well, there you go. I mean, that's essentially what happens on our program every day. So how's by you? How's your life going today, huh? How you doing, Chris? How you doing, Craig? Hey, my guys are doing fine. I'm the guy sitting here with flop sweat. All right, 1-800-449. I don't give a crap whether the bit's stiffed or not. But you know what? My wife's seen it flick two times. She took my daughter to go see it. And it looks pretty funny, actually, because, you know, the thing with the woman with the bleach on her... forget it. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. From yesterday's show, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse was talking shockingly about the fact that he has dated and is continuing to date a 16-year-old. Ted is 42. The girl is 16, but they're just good friends. And when I asked, what about the father, he said, hey, the father works in my restaurant. He wouldn't dare say anything about it. Let's listen to Ted justify his, quote, friendship, end quote, with a 16-year-old girl.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
We have a 10-year-old. We have a 21-year-old daughter. And we own a business.
You have a 10-year-old daughter?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we have a 21-year-old daughter, and we own a business.
Yes, ma'am.
But there would be no way in the world either one of those girls would be with a man like this.
But I am not going to do anything other than be a friend to her. We're going to spend a wonderful weekend picking out clothing, getting her hair done, hiking.
Sir, my daughter goes hiking.
Yes.
She goes to Alaska for the summer.
That's
and
wonderful.
We own a business, and I certainly would not ever, or my husband would never use our business as manipulation of people.
I'm not manipulating anybody.
You said you're going to give the father a raise.
I did not say I'd No, wait a minute. I didn't say I gave him a raise if I could go out with his daughter.
Well, it just so happens that he's getting his raise right around the time that you'll be spending the weekend with his daughter.
You have impugned me for the... Mr. Henry has called me... basically, you're calling me a child molester.
Sir, you sound like one on the radio.
Ma'am, I am not having sex. You went to Alaska?
My daughter just went to Alaska for the whole summer.
You know something? Let's say something, Lee. Alaska is a beautiful and a very romantic place. Let's say, and I'm not saying this will happen, but let's say I was with your daughter in Alaska. I would treat her like a lady. I would, you say, she's 21 though, right?
She's 21, and sir, there's
okay.
No way my daughter would even go out with somebody who would get on a radio station claiming that he's some big Ted Bell man, that he owns Ted Bell Steakhouse.
Well, ma'am, I own Ted's in Beverly Hills. I'm Ted Bell, and you have
you
to
know,
understand
I don't
what that
really
means.
Care. Sir, we own a company that makes a lot of money.
Okay, that's fine.
But I don't go around going, hey, I'm Leah Jones, and I make the rules. You don't make the rules. And
make
I'm
balloons?
Sorry, the police can't
She doesn't
arrest
make
you.
Balloons. She makes the rules.
I open doors for women. I pull out their chairs. I kiss their hands.
That's,
I open the car
wonderful.
Door.
That's wonderful, but you should do it with somebody that's age-appropriate. Not a child.
Kelly, even though she's 16, she knows whole solar systems
no,
that I don't know.
I'm sorry,
she's
sir.
She's so much older
I'm sorry,
than me.
I'm sorry, sir. There are not solar systems that she knows.
She's an old soul.
She's 16. You're 42. You got money.
Exactly,
that's what she
Ted.
Sees.
See, yeah, she sees you with having a lot of Jack. She's all impressed with you having bread.
She
that's
likes,
right.
She likes being with me. And my wife takes it. My wife takes it all for granted. My wife is going on the Paul Gauguin cruise to Tahiti in about 3 months. You think that's a big deal to her? Oh, big deal. She could care less. When I said to Kelly that I might take her on the Paul Gauguin cruise for a week, she loved it.
What do you mean for a week?
I may just keep her for the week.
If you take anybody, you could ask a 30-year-old woman that has a brain and an adult mind, and she would probably be thrilled. Just because your wife has taken advantage of the way you've treated her doesn't mean that all women are that way. But what you're talking about is a child.
Lee,
number one,
Lee,
sir,
Kelly,
it is against the
Lee,
law.
Kelly is my spiritual teacher.
No,
she has taught
she's
me
a
how
child.
To find the center.
She's a 16-year-old kid. You've what is the word? You've idolatrized her? You've the...
Boy, I don't
Bell,
think that is a word.
If you want right, a spiritual well, leader, you need to call Cleo. Because
oh,
this
ha,
is a 16-year-old child.
Getting in a little cutie there, huh? Getting in
this
a little joke?
This
Kelly,
is a 16-year-old child.
She is not a child. She has the body and the looks of a 20.
The law
then why does
she company with
she
her?
She is built like a 24-year-old.
I don't care. She's built like.
She also
know.
Has her driver's license.
Well,
I
wonderful.
Say,
she can drive.
I just want to ask you a question.
After 9 o'clock at night?
All right. I just want to ask you a question. In Tahiti, she can drive after 9 o'clock at night, yes.
Well, isn't that nice? But you're only getting
yeah.
her for a weekend.
All right. I want to ask Lee a question. You say you have a 10-year-old, right?
Yes.
I don't want you to take this the wrong way. Can you tell me how tall she is?
No.
Oh, so in other words...
Yeah, in other words, maybe she just doesn't want
to... So I'm a pervert. I haven't said anything to either one of you. Look, Kelly is... She hit puberty at a very early age, and she is built. Yeah, very funny, huh?
Yeah, really funny. You know, my
Lee,
son
can I ask you, is your daughter
puberty at a very early age and fathered a child. It did not make him an adult.
How old is he?
He's 17. Now he's 19.
Lee,
now he has a child.
Is your daughter in the drill team?
My daughter,
the
my 10-year-old goes to cheerleader camp. She's
okay.
a child.
So she's learning. Nice. That's great.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Get out of here, Ted. You suck, too. All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. Back in a moment.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So baseball due to go on strike midnight Friday. Is that midnight Friday? When it's Thursday going into Friday, is that called midnight Friday or is it midnight Thursday? Before Friday. And one of the funny things I heard over the last 48 hours was this quote from one of the players. And again, I'm not trying to impugn the players' intelligence, in comparison to the owners. I don't think that the players are dumber than the owners. Well, maybe they are. They're ball players, and these guys are owners. I mean, they got to be dumber, don't they? They've got a really smart guy running the show for them, Donald Fair, although we will find out whether this guy is as smart as he likes to think he is. But the players said, don't make the mistake of thinking that we won't go out on strike. Don't assume that we won't do it. This was in response to someone saying, well, the owners are holding a hard line because they don't think you guys have got the guts to walk. And the player rep said, they'll be making a big mistake because we'll go. Which doesn't surprise me because I never thought these guys were bright enough to not strike in the first place. Of course they'll strike. They're idiots. Of course they'll strike. They don't realize that what has happened is that they're a moment at the twilight zone. We have entered the twilight zone. We are moving through a dimension of sight and sound, not of mind. The next stop, that signpost up ahead, baby, it's a whole new ball game. We have left the 20th century. We're in the 21st century. And what has happened is simply this, that the appreciation of this game called baseball has evolved. It's mutated into one of a kind of passing fancy as opposed to a national passion. That with internet and with the beach and all those other phony baloney reasons people always give you as to why a football team or a baseball team or a hockey team doesn't do better. It's, well, we have all the beach and we have all the entertainment with it. But it's true. We do. We have so much to do. That today, baseball is not a passion for the overwhelming majority of people. It's a passion for a handful of guys. Some geeks with a baseball cap on sideways, and they sit at their computer, and they play their rotisserie baseball league. Have you ever talked to those guys? This is a whole other planet. And that's all that it is. So, but the players have been talked into believing that there is a definite, there's a very definite connection there that's going to maintain. On the other end of the stick, of course, the owners believe that the fans side with them because fans side with the fact that owners are this idea that they're sort of beaten down by the high salary demands of the players. Well, that's crap too because they've agreed to pay these salaries for so long. They've never held a hard line on the players, not in 30 years, and they ain't about to start. But I believe with all of my heart and all my soul, people are not on the side of the owners, not on the side of the players. They just ain't going to do it anymore, man. There's just too much else to do. You got to have kids to appreciate it. You really do. You got to have kids to appreciate what's happened to baseball. I got four kids. They never, ever flip on a ball game. They're flipping on Halo, man. They're playing Halo. They're playing Myth. They got the Xbox out. They're playing Mortal Kombat. They're into Grand Theft Auto 1, Grand Theft Auto 2, Grand Theft Auto 3. I've finally decided I'll just let them play, even though it's violent and features the murder of civilians. It's better than having them in my face. They're doing RPG games, man. They were getting their friends together, 15 guys. They wire four TV sets together, and they spend 48 hours with their kissers glued to a TV screen. This is the new entertainment. This is where kids are at, man. Not baseball. And, oh, yeah, they play football. They play football in high school. They go home, they do their RPG, and they study, and they eat lots of food, and occasionally will kick their ass into the pool so they can go swimming. Every now and again, they like to jump up and down on a trampoline. That's really, they get their jollies out doing that. And then they go back upstairs, and boom, it's round two of Myth, RPG, Halo, Mario Brothers, whatever it is that the little girl plays. She's still on that crap. Catherine still hasn't graduated from Nintendo Mario Brothers, but, you know, I'm sure she'll get there. And this is where it's at. And football on the weekend. They'll watch some ball games, NFL games, maybe a couple of college games. They're not watching baseball. There's no generation of kids coming up watching baseball. So what I'm proposing and what I have been trying to say, and maybe not very articulately over the last few days, is this. Please get it over with. This long, drawn-out, slow, inexorable, but still slow bleeding of the game, this season after season, and year after year of watching it slowly die. It's like watching a relative just, sooner or later you want to pull the plug, man. You walk into the hospital room and they look worse than they did the day before. You just pull the plug. What we're saying is, pull the plug. Pull the plug. Let it die. Let it die and be reborn as something else, maybe something better, something newer, something cleaner, something fresher. They'll still use bats, balls, and gloves, but maybe it'll be a whole other approach to the game with a different breed of player and a different kind of owner, and maybe it'll be free, maybe it'll be commercially sponsored, maybe the outfield fences will be drawn in. Craig, why do I hate baseball? It's not so much that I hate baseball. Look at you all of a sudden. What are you asking me questions? Why do I hate baseball so much? You getting up in my grill on this thing? The reason why I hate baseball is not so much that I hate baseball. What I hate is that it's essentially ruined itself with the strike in 94. There was no freaking World Series in 94. That means the so-called tradition of the game is dead. And if the tradition of the game is dead, it needs to be something else. And what is it going to be? It's got to be something other than what it is. And what it is right now are owners and players, players and owners. Why do I hate baseball so much? Do you want to know why I hate baseball so much? A Little League umpire invited me to his car one night. Yeah, okay. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Another little boy snatched today. He was a 9-year-old in Palm Desert, California. Two gunmen forced their way into a home, attacked a man, and kidnapped his son. Then sped away in a sport utility vehicle. Did they do an Amber Alert on this kid? What constitutes or what qualifies a case to be an Amber Alert? Do they believe that they know already who the individuals might be? These are the questions that inquiring minds want to know. I don't understand. All I know is that there is an epidemic of these child abductions going on, and they feed on each other, as I tried to point out, you know, a couple of weeks ago. This country being the world record holder for copycat everything. I mean, this culture just can't get by without people. We talk about in this business people stealing each other's material. You know, in this culture, we steal each other's material. In this culture, everything feeds on everything else. I would just love to see somebody do something really cool and have a bunch of other people copy that for a change, as opposed to freeway shooting, copycat, bombing, copycat. You remember this kid that planted those bombs in the mailboxes out there in the Midwest? Didn't they just have another rash of those in Georgia someplace? Now we've got kids being abducted. And why is this? Because this is the way these mental cases, this is how these psychopaths work. Oh, just gave me a great idea for what I had to do on my vacation. What? Go steal another kid. Jeez, I was really getting bored, man. I couldn't come up with an idea as how to exercise my sociopathic nature. Oh, my God. I just saw a guy on CNN that looked like he had plastic hair. Anyway, if you're doing something cool, it usually takes some thought. If you're doing something to destroy a life or destroy anything, it doesn't take any thought. You can just go and do it. Cool stuff takes an actual creative bone and a creative bent. But just banging a stick on a garbage can lid, what does that take? You get attention, and all you had to do is bang the stick on a garbage can lid. You steal a kid, you get attention. Or some such payment. I don't know what it is. This little boy, his name, by the way, is Nicholas Michael Farber. He was taken at 2 a.m. He was only wearing his underwear. He's 53 inches tall. He's 55 pounds. These names begin to blur into each other, don't they? Until finally, all of the outrage that people said they felt about this kind of thing, it quiets down into a, it just sort of calms down and quiets down into this. Sort of a, the mind is numbed so much that, well, I don't really want to talk about it anymore. Well, kids are being stolen. Just wasn't that something that pissed you off 30 days ago? Well, I know, but I've moved on. You know, I'm taking a, I'm making necklaces out of bottle caps and shells. And I really, I'm doing an arts and crafts thing now. Oh, well, I mean, I thought, you know, a while ago, you guys were all bugged about it. Well, I can't think about it. Like 9/11, remember that? I couldn't believe that story. All of a sudden, people are saying, you know, let's move on past 9/11. And everybody likes to use the word desensitized. That's a load of horse crap like I've never in my life stuck my foot in. They're not desensitized. They're overly sensitized. What they're doing is they're blocking, man. It's called shutting it out. It's called denial. That ain't desensitized. That's the mind shuts down after a while because you can't take so much horror. You have to do something with it, so you compartmentalize it. And one of these days it'll come regurgitating up out of your subconscious. But I don't want to deal with 9/11 anymore. That was yesterday, and, you know, like Bobby Dooley said, it's so 5 minutes ago, and let's move on. I'm getting really tired of all of this stuff. Well, guess what? We're going to stick it up into your face even more. And we'll be in New York, and if you're really tired of 9/11, Jim, you're going to want to stop listening to this show because it'll be like nonstop 9/11 for a solid week. We'll be in New York. We'll be broadcasting from Ground Zero. We will be on Wall Street in the studio off of Wall Street. And then we'll be at Ground Zero on 9/11 and everything. And, I mean, you know, how much of that stuff we're actually going to bring to the air, I don't know. I'm not going to go out and interview the mayor, but we're going to be there. Because it's something worth remembering. It's something worth honoring. It's something worth memorializing, you clowns who say that this is something that we need to get past. Don't you ever forget what happened that day. If I even get wind of one of you forgetting what happened that day, I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to shoot your pets. And make you watch. If I get any idea that anybody listening to this show suddenly, oh, well, you know, 9/11, hey, you know, we don't need that anymore. We moved on, man. It's much ado about nothing. I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to cook you dinner, and I'm going to make you eat it. And then I'm going to wash your car, and I'm going to tuck you in bed, read you a story, and give you a glass of warm milk. What do you think of that?
Phil, I think you're flipping out.
I'm just joking around.
Oh, okay. Because giving a glass of milk is not bad.
I understand that. I'm joking around.
Oh, okay. Is that, like, funny? Is that, like, as funny as that bit you did about the lip hair?
You can leave now, man.
No, but the lip hair thing.
You can leave now, man. Shut up. In the middle of my monologue, shut up.
Do you want me to get your pill? Because I know you're. Aren't you taking some antidepressant?
No, I am not. I'm taking allergy medicine. Antidepressant. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. By the way, Sam Adams Beer has been in the news recently, and the reason why Sam Adams Beer has been in the news recently is because they were the sponsors of the ill-fated radio station promotion that got two cats in New York fired. Sam Adams Beer, in an effort to reach out to younger beer drinkers, younger men, placed an enormous buy on this radio show, and those two guys got fired. Sam Adams Beer, just for the record, tastes, if you've never had it, it tastes just a little bit like urine. It's just a hint. I got a friend of mine that brings that stuff over all the time. I said, will you stop?
Why?
Just don't bring it over here anymore. I don't drink it.
Oh, look what I got. I got some Sam Adams.
Well, that's great. I don't drink it. So I started thinking about all the beer that I have, actually. I'm not talking about every can of beer that I ever drank, but I'm talking about my brands down through the years. And I don't know, I thought maybe, the honey ale is fabulous, Chris. Isn't that just swell? It's to die for. Honey ale. If you've never had the Sam Adams honey ale, it's just a hint of catbox to it. And I don't know, I thought maybe if we had any number of you guys could check in with your life in beer is basically what I'm saying. Here's my life in beer. When I started drinking beer, it was Coors. Because that was the, it was Coors or Olympia, because those were the two most popular beers where I grew up in my younger years, shall we put it. I'm not going to pinpoint an age because it's frankly none of your business. But it was Coors and it was Olympia going back and forth. Then when it was finally legal for me to buy beer, then I thought I was a real aficionado and I would go in and I would sort of, scope out the beer case and get wild things like Mickey's Wide Mouth. You know, and occasionally I'd buy a can of stout. Just anything. One time we had a party and a friend of mine and I went into one of these, upscale liquor stores and just took a different can of everything. I think we wound up, a single can of that stout's like $2 or something, or $3. And so we wound up spending like thousands of dollars on two cases of beer, I think. So during the 70s, I think it was more or less a Mickey's Wide Mouth, and then I'll never forget, during when I was broke, and I was really broke, check this out. I was in the supermarket one day, and this will give you an idea how old I am. I saw Old Milwaukee on sale for $1.99 a six. No, excuse me. It was 99 cents a six-pack, Old Milwaukee, and that's what got me into Old Milwaukee. And throughout much of my time in Florida, when I lived in Orlando, Old Milwaukee was my beer because it was 99 cents for a six-pack, right? And if you had a girlfriend, you could maybe, my girlfriend occasionally would show up with, a sixer of, like, Löwenbräu. That's another one that we thought was real hip. And so I moved out of the Mickey's Wide Mouth and the Old Milwaukee, and then we said, let's start drinking some beer that's, like, classy. Not that I knew it was classy. I didn't really know if it was classy. But I started drinking Löwenbräu and St. Pauli's Girl. Because I thought, hey, check it out. It's got one of those groovy-ass looking European-style labels. And, man, this is really solid. St. Pauli's Girl, Löwenbräu, Löwenbräu Dark, which tastes like plum juice. It just couldn't deal with it. My buddy, though, DJ, who's going to be at the party on Saturday night, so you can give him some crap about this, Craig. He was a big Löwenbräu drinker. He'd always show up with the sixer of Löwenbräu. Would you stop with that already? It's brewed in Irwindale, California. It ain't from Germany. Really, I'm really kind of partial to this Löwenbräu. It has a nutty ale flavor. Oh, by my bare ass. Man, that stuff is brewed out in a rock quarry out in Irwindale. Nutty flavor. Yeah, it had a nutty flavor like Fat Bastard had that nutty flavor in a cup of coffee that Austin Powers had. That's your nutty flavor. So I went into that stuff, And then when I lived in upstate New York for a while, I did the Genesee thing. And then a bunch of us piled into the car once. We drove down to Texas. I did the Lone Star thing. And there was a brew down in New Orleans called Jack's. And you were always searching for the hip thing, right? Now, just to give an example of the difference between me and my good friend Craig Taylor, here is his life history in beer. Jack and Coke, Jack and Coke, Jack and Coke, and then he switched to Jack and Coke until finally now, in his late 20s, he's into Jack and Coke, which, by the way, is not beer. All right, our number 1-800-449-8686. See, we got a couple of guys checking in with their life in beer. This is Your Life in Beer. I'm Phil Hendry. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, I don't know why, but the summer's ending, so we're naturally our minds turn to beer and its influence on all of our lives, and we are doing our life in beer. What I mean by that is, down through the years, do you remember how you changed brands and what, which beers did you go from this one to this one to this one? And I mentioned Coors, Olympia for me. Then I moved during the 70s when I was in my 20s. I moved into this kind of Mickey's Wide Mouth, St. Pauli Girl, what was that other one? Oh, Löwenbräu phase, So I've reached the 80s, and I'll update you on that. But let's go to a phone call or two here. 1-800-449-8686. Steve, hi.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Good, how are you? Thank you.
Yeah, I get your show, so I don't get a call.
That's cool.
I get it.
Well, that's why we do these segments, so we can at least touch base with real people for a few moments.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, my beer life started out with Schaefer's.
Oh, you grew up where? Back east?
No, in Denver, actually.
Okay, Schaefer's?
Yeah, it was about $5 a case.
Yeah, Schaefer's was like the crap beer. I didn't get a lot of that in California, but I know the stuff you're talking about.
It's they still bad. We used to bong it. It was so bad.
You used to what?
Bong the beer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, with a funnel and a hose. You drink like four beers in maybe 30 seconds. Pretty awesome.
Try to shotgun those? And then you
yeah, because you didn't want to taste it.
And then you moved on to what?
Bud Light. I went to Bud Light because my buddies drank that. And this was, of course, the drinking age in Denver at the time was 18, so I was about 16.
So Schaefer's to Bud Light, and then?
To Coors Light, being from Denver, of course, Golden.
All of a sudden you discovered, you're from Denver, and you all of a sudden start drinking Coors. It's your third choice brand?
Well, I was 17 at the time.
Okay.
So it took me 2 years.
Thank you. All right, glad for mentioning your age. Now I've got trouble all up and down the line. Well, I didn't mind him talking about beer, but now he's talking about underage drinking?
Yeah, well, the drinking age was 18.
All right,
you know.
So then you moved off to Coors Light?
Yeah.
And then to what?
And then Keystone Light.
Wow, you're going downhill, man.
I know.
You started out with pretty good stuff, and it's then to what?
And now, actually, I heard it's one of your sponsors is Amstel Light. That's what I like now.
Amstel Light's fantastic.
That's awesome.
That's a great. If you're going to drink a light beer, you got to drink Amstel Light.
Right, right. And you're not just saying that.
No, not at all.
No, but you okay. Know, I hook up with some of my friends who I used to drink Coors Light and Keystone Light with, and they're all into the microbrews and stuff.
And they're all living on the street now.
Yeah,
that's great.
Can't deal with that.
Yeah, they can't. They're having a hard time doing kind of that thumb finger neurological exam. All right. Well, thanks, Steve.
All right, Phil. Good talking to you.
Yeah, I hooked up with some friends of mine who used to drink with me, and now they, I think they're in alcoholic comas. But when they get out, I'm going to say a prayer for them. Yeah, Amstel Light's great. So let me tell you the beers that I, okay, so where am I? Well, let's get some more phone calls, then I'll get back into my rotten drinking habits. Here is Michael on the Phil Henry Show. Michael?
Hey, Phil. Great show as always.
Thanks, RC.
To kind of curtail the caller before, I started off with Keystone Light when I first got into college, and that just shows the power of marketing, because I sat there and was drinking, Keystone Light, the bottled beer taste in a can, which didn't make us any friends.
And you believed it, though, didn't you?
They had us wrapped around their finger for about a year until we actually woke up and realized that it was just garbage that we were drinking. So then,
the bottled beer taste in a can.
So then we wound up...
But a lot of it's economics, though. A lot of it's economics. What can you afford?
That's exactly true.
Right.
And got a job in college and moved along to Miller Lite and then changed schools and actually got into the whole malt liquor thing. And don't ask me how we did it, but...
That's a very strange, dark path.
But we drank that for a little bit. Then we actually realized that hey, now that we're growing up, we can actually afford some decent beer. And
right.
So we got in the Amstel Lights. And my beer now is actually a Bass with a lime.
With a lime.
Sounds disgusting, but it's good.
Now, this whole lime thing, I'll tell you what I know about the lime thing, and then you guys can tell me what you know. Lime is served with cerveza in Mexico to be used as a to clean the lip of the bottle.
Okay.
All right. That's originally why they gave you a lime with a beer down in Mexico, and somehow that got translated to the minds of a lot of gringos that you were supposed to squeeze the lime into the beer, which I tried doing it for a while, but you say it tastes good in a Bass. Maybe I ought to do that with a Bass.
It's good with the Bass. I mean, everyone does it with a Corona, but it doesn't, to me, the Corona with the lime just tastes like Bud Light anyway.
Let me ask you a question. How come, you know those cigar shows that used to be on, all those guys talking about cigars?
Yeah.
How come they don't have one for beer? Okay, it's my idea. I'm doing it.
You could actually have Doug Dinger come in and host it.
Yeah, I'd have Doug come in. I would do a beer show. Make a note. I'm talking to Craig tomorrow about the beer. All right, Michael, thank you, pal.
Okay, take care, Phil.
All right.
Bye.
Bass is good. Bass Ale, Newcastle Brown Ale. Those are a couple of ales. I'm not a big ale drinker, but I like the nutty, fruity flavor of, well, whatever. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jeremy. Jeremy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hendry, what's up, buddy?
How are you?
Hey, good, man. I just got to let you know, Ice House got me through college. It was $5.49 a 12-pack, and I drank that stuff like it was going out of style.
Yeah, Ice House is great.
I'll tell you what.
The big tall can, like, the tall boy, though, right?
It's not like a cheap beer where you have it in your refrigerator, everybody notices it's a cheap beer. It's like one of those silent cheap beers that just kind of stands there like, oh, that's...
Well, it has respect because it gets you hammered faster, you know, because of all that ice brewing. Yeah, it's got like 5% alcohol in it. And somebody handed me one of those, and I was on Calle Ocho in Miami during their annual festival, and I knocked down an Ice House, and I said, one beer? I'm buzzed on one beer? It's like a six-pack. This is great.
Well, my tolerance just... totally skyrocketed though after that though. Now it's like now I got out of school. Now I'm drinking Fat Tires with an orange. By the way, a Fat Tire with an orange is really good.
What's a Fat Tire?
Fat Tire's out of Colorado. I think it's out of Fort Collins, and you can only get it in Arizona.
Fort Collins?
You know what? I went to Vegas one time, and I couldn't even get it in Vegas.
I don't think so. Yeah, it's one of those micro. That's not a micro brew. It's a regional brew.
Yeah. It's Fat Tire, but it's awesome. I drink with an orange slice every single night, and it's just awesome.
Every night. Ice House is one of those beers that the only reason why anybody buys it is because it gets you hammered faster.
Yeah.
And then they came out with Bud Ice. It's not a bad beer, man. It's refreshing.
You get
hammered really fast, you know, and your friends won't not respect you for drinking it. They'll think
Phil, we drink Fat Tire every night and talk about Bobby Dooley.
And what you'd like to do with her?
Bobby Dooley.
After a case of Fat Tire.
Yeah, dude.
All right, dude. Thanks for calling. You're sick. 1-800. My tolerance has skyrocketed. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
We're talking about your life in beer. And at what point in your life did you drink what kind of beer? Because if you look back, you can tell an awful lot. You can tell what economic state you were in. You can tell what frame of mind you were in. You can tell whether you were sane, whether you were insane, whether you were homeless, whether you had a job, whether you could be trusted, whether you could not be trusted. And I mentioned starting out, my beer drinking days started out with Coors and with Olympia beer, which is a beer from Washington State in Tumwater. And then I moved on from there to, then we got into the Budweiser malt thing. Then I got into Old Milwaukee, and through the 70s, all of those brands that you thought you were cool drinking, and they really didn't have much else. There wasn't much else different. There wasn't much different from, say, drinking those cool brands and taking just a sip out of a toilet at Dodger Stadium. It was just, except one was a little bit, more carbonated. Yeah, malty and nutty. So, remember Grolsch? Grolsch with that, what was that thing? It was like a porcelain cork? Used to drink that, thought we were very hip, thought we were ultra-hip drinking Grolsch. And I mentioned the Mickey's Wide Mouth. And then when the 80s hit, one day I walked into a liquor store and I saw this cool-looking bottle. And it wasn't a tanned bottle or a tinted bottle. It was just a clear bottle with, instead of a label, writing on it. And it said Corona. And it was like 69 cents a bottle. They didn't even sell it in six-pack. And I got about 12 of these, and I brought them over to my friend's house. Well, that became like big beer to drink, Corona beer. Through the early 80s, Corona was the beer. And then somebody in the brewing business, and I don't want to point any fingers,
Budweiser,
but somebody, I don't know if it's Budweiser or not, somebody floated a rumor that the workers at the Corona brewery in Mexico were urinating into the vats. Now, this is a true story, and it was total bullcrap. But the rumor took hold, and the sales of Corona in the United States just bottomed, man. I mean, just went into the, well, if you'll pardon the expression, the toilet. But Corona has fought its way back and is now, I think they've got a fairly significant portion of the American beer drinking market, but they were really the beer to drink back around, you know, 82, 83, 84, something like that. All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is Jack. Hello, Jack.
Hey, what's up, Phil?
How you doing?
Not too bad. Hey, I just want to let you know right off the bat that Wichita, Kansas loves what you're doing.
Thank you very much.
Hey, I just listened to your life of beers here and totally agree with you. You can look at the beer you're drinking back then and totally states the position you're in, you know, and, and what you're doing.
Life status, yeah.
Yeah. You know, when I first started drinking beer, it was, I don't know why, it was, I guess it was the people I was around, but it was original Coors.
Yeah, the original Coors, right. In the tan can.
Right. And then later on, after I started paying for my own rent, you know, and buying food and stuff like that, end up drinking, like, the stuff they strain out of the mop at the beer factory or whatever, you know.
Yeah, the real 99 cents a sixer, yeah. The $2 a sixer thing.
Yeah, yeah, they've got...
That's how I started drinking Old Milwaukee. What were you drinking?
Right. I was drinking Natural Light is the very worst. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God, you poor man.
Well, I come from a small town, you know. That's basically all there is to do in small town USA. And
hey, that's all there is to do in big town USA, man.
Yeah.
Suck down a few brews and hope for the best. My nephew came over about 2 weeks ago, and he left. He had the guts to leave a sixer of Natural Light in my icebox.
Oh, no.
I said, take that crap back to UCSB where you found it.
Yep. Yeah, we call it farmer beer around here because big joke is all the farmers are poor and that's all they can afford, you know.
Well, now what are you on these days? What are you on these days? What are you hooked on these days?
Oh, I tell you the truth, right now, any beer, I really can't even tell the difference, really. I mean,
so your life is the same as it was like when you were a kid. You're still broke. you're all in a heap, man. All right.
Yeah. I'll tell you what though. Don't drink nearly as much as I used to back in college and stuff like that. But if I do, it's just going to be one or two beers and Bud Light probably. But
all right, man, we'll keep a hold of that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks. Sounds like he may have bigger problems than just what brand of beer. Maybe, maybe you just shouldn't drink at all. Here is Ellen on the Phil Henry Show. Ellen.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good.
Great.
Hey, you and I must lead parallel lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I started out drinking Olympia beer. I was from Seattle.
Yeah, it's the water from Tumwater. It's their slug line. Remember that?
Well, yeah, and Little Ole in a can.
I didn't hear that. Little Ole in a can? Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember the little tiny cans you could get?
Yes. Yes, I used to pitch in softball, and it would be hot, and I would drink a couple of Little Oles, and I was a great pitcher.
Oh, man. Would have loved to see those games. I saw a T-shirt. Well, there was a very popular T-shirt going around when I was a kid. And it said, Olympia, it's the water, and it showed a kid peeing into a stream. It's the water at Tumwater, yeah. Olympia beer. Olympia was pretty cool. It was a real light beer.
Yeah, and then I moved to Heineken.
Yeah, then you moved to Heineken. From Olympia to Heineken, that's a step up.
Yeah, and then from Heineken to, believe it or not, after I had my child, I drank Grolsch beer.
You went from Heine to Grolsch?
Yes.
Wild. Is it better? You like it better?
No, but then after that, then I outgrew the Grolsch and moved to Colorado. And the caller a couple of times earlier that was talking about Fat Tire.
Yeah, how do you spell that?
F-A-T Tire. There's a picture of a bicycle on the front.
Oh, it's like Fat Tire.
Yes, New Belgian Brewery up in Fort Collins.
My engineer, Craig Taylor, he just says Fat Tire. You might as well sip out of Mile High Stadium toilets than drink Fat Tire.
Oh, he's crazy.
No, he's adamant.
Taste.
Yeah, he's adamant.
No taste.
Well, I wouldn't argue with that. But I'm just the messenger, you know.
Yeah, well. And,
Fat Tire, huh? And that's an Arizona brew, right?
No, Colorado.
Oh, Colorado,
Fort Collins.
Oh, that's right, Fort Collins. That's what that dude said, but.
Yeah,
my mind is addled from all of that
beer you've drinking.
Miller High Life I've been drinking. Hey, listen, Ellen, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Nice to talk to a beer-drinking woman.
Well, and I love your show. I listen all the time.
You're very kind.
Thanks.
Bye. 1-800-449-8686. So where was I? Hey, by the way, if you want to get together and tip a few brews, why not come to Las Vegas with us? That's right. I'm going to be having our first ever Phil Henry Show live at the Luxor Las Vegas Party, September 27th to the 29th. This is a radio show that is kind of interesting to watch. And if you come to Vegas with us, here's what you're going to be enjoying. First of all, we're going to have a Henry Happy Hour at the Raw Nightclub at the Luxor Las Vegas. Then you're going to see me do the show, our three-hour broadcast. And then on Saturday night, you'll join me again at the Raw Nightclub for our Blues and Brews party. So we can sit around and jaw-jack about that stuff all over, you know, as much as we want. And then, of course, you've got two nights lodging at the Luxor. You have two passes to the Oasis Spa. You get two tickets to the King Tut Museum. You, of course, have your VIP passes to the parties. There'll be a very special gift for each and every one of you who attends. And it's all worth over $500, but our price is $348. That's right. The weekend package is only $348. And that's with everything that I just mentioned. Now, you have to call the following number and ask for the Phil Hendry package. Otherwise, you're flat out of luck. The number is 1-800-288-1000. 1-800-288-1000, the Phil Hendry package. And again, you must have this package to get the VIP passes to go into the party. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you have to be 21 years of age or older to even sign up for this deal. 1-800-288-1000. Ask for the Phil Hendry package. There are a limited number of packages, so make your reservations now. It's going to be a tight night, the 27th of September for our broadcast, and the 28th for our Blues and Brews party in Las Vegas at the Luxor.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, moving on with my life in beer. So where was I? Oh, yeah, Corona. And then Corona dropped off on the hit parade. I started getting tired of Corona's flavor because it's in a clear bottle. It's not in a tinted bottle. Tinted bottle keeps the heat out, which I guess is good for it. I don't know. But then I moved on to a little thing called Rolling Rock. Many of us are familiar with Rolling Rock. It's out of Latrobe, Pennsylvania. It's got a cool-looking bottle. And it ain't a bad beer. I drank Rolling Rock for a while until I discovered Molson Golden, which is now a Canadian beer. So I moved out of the American-Mexico beers. Now I'm up north to Molson Golden. And that had maybe a sturdier flavor. I don't know what you want to call it, but Rolling Rock was too sweet. And from Molson Golden, I finally settled on the brew that I drink now, which may sound pedestrian, but pound for pound, dollar for dollar, it is a fantastic beer, and that's Heineken. It's a great beer. I mean, you can't, it's expensive, but I'm wealthy. 1-800-449-8686. Of course, I'm kidding. Here is Angie. Hi, Angie. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil.
How you doing?
Great. I was calling because I guess I started off. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, great. I started off with, of course, Mickey's and the Old English 40s when I first started drinking beer.
The Old English 40s?
Yeah, they were horrible.
Good God.
I got one for nostalgic reasons the other day, but it's not good because it doesn't keep the beer cold.
What doesn't?
But just a huge bottle by the time you're halfway through.
Oh, the big brews? Yeah.
Yeah, it's flat and it's bad, but now
I'm... Do you live at home, Angie? Where do you live?
I live in Golden.
Whereabouts? In a house or?
Yeah, I live in a house.
Oh, okay. Your house?
Yeah.
Great.
And but now I
wanted to make sure that all that beer drinking hadn't suddenly put you under a bridge someplace.
All right, well, so thanks for your concern.
You're welcome.
There's a great place in Golden, Colorado. It's called Golden City Brewery, and they advertise themselves as the second largest brewery in Golden. But it's actually, they made it out of somebody's garage, and they make excellent beer. They have even a chili beer and a...
Chili beer?
Yeah, it has like a little bit of a... They brew it with chilies, but it's kind of fun because they close very early, but it's a very neighborhood brew pub. Yeah.
That's solid, man. I got to go there. The largest being Coors, I take it.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny. But they're always at all of the festivals.
So the only problem with chili-flavored beer is after you've been drinking all night and when you finally do vomit, now you're puking chili. And it just, you know, I'm like, oh, great, this is coming back up. What is that chili flavor? Did you have Mexican food? No, it's the beer.
beer.
The
yeah,
beer I drank.
It's really good. They have a bunch of different seasonal beers, but it's pretty potent
seasonal
stuff. Yeah.
That's the reason why I like Heineken, man. It's all year round.
Yeah.
All year round. Hey, Angie, thanks.
Hey, thank
Golden
you.
City Brewery, huh? I gotta go down there
yeah.
and get some beer.
Check it out.
Thanks for calling. Bye bye. It's a garage. They made it out of a garage. See, so in other words, you go to this brewery and it's some cat making the stuff in a bathtub and he just brings it out by the glass and, you know. Yeah. The Coors Brewery is too expensive on those tours. You know, they're charging like 50 cents a glass over there. All right, 1-800-449-8686. And Darren, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Well, good evening. I'm a little perplexed why you're getting all these phone calls from Colorado, but maybe this is the beer state of the union. I don't understand, but anyhow, I wanted to tell you my beer history.
1-800-449-8686. I can't deal with that, you know. Here's Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
Great show. Listen, we had study groups around 25-cent drafts of hams up in Northern California College I went to.
During
and 25-cent hams with free popcorn. That was our dinner, of course.
Where'd you go to school?
Humboldt State in Arcata, California.
25-cent glasses of hams and popcorn.
That's right.
That is fantastic.
That was the day.
The what is it? The beer from the land of sky blue waters, hams, with that little Indian bear dancing around?
I don't know.
I lived across the street from the abandoned Hams Brewery in St. Paul, up in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Hey, and one more thing. I travel for a living, and I enjoy the microbrews, and it's always a regional deal.
Do you?
And in you know, in new towns, I'll ask, hey, what's a new regional beer? What's great? And if you go to Colorado, they just sort of glare at you, and they say, and they look at you and say, well, Coors. Of course, Coors is our regional beer. So,
you know, Coors has got some kind of economic boycott going on. I'm not familiar with, and I don't want to speak out of turn, but I believe the gay rights activists are against Coors because of statements made by principals in that company. And, of course, my in-laws drink nothing but Coors because they don't want to have anything to do with them gays.
Yeah,
so.
I think Burt Reynolds was behind that.
Burt Reynolds, all right.
Nice.
Thank you.
You're nice.
See you later, Ben. All right, well, who knows? 1-800-449-8686. Now, Bobby Dooley from yesterday's show.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
What's wrong is that young children don't need to be subjected to a woman like you who slanders someone else on air.
Slander.
The woman you slander.
I am celebrating her
slander.
Life. Oh, really? She's dead, so I guess she can't do that, can she?
I'm not talking about Princess Diana. I'm
talking about
your neighbor.
Carol
who
Cooper.
You nipped in the bud.
Carol Cooper.
You slandered her.
Eileen, Carol Cooper is a notorious alcoholic.
Oh,
she's
well,
had
there
three
you go
abortions.
Again, slandering her.
She's had three abortions.
What has that got to
you
do
know,
with
know,
the woman's ability
Phil,
to put on a one-woman show?
Phil, I think
that.
Someone should get in touch with Carol Cooper and have her call an attorney immediately and sue this woman for slander.
Oh, so she's
I think this
sue
woman's
even
husband
she's a
should have her locked up.
Uh-huh.
And
even
have
though,
her mental health questioned.
Even though she's a Vicodin junkie, she's going to sue me.
All right, so now she's a Vicodin junkie, she's had abortions, and she's a notorious alcoholic.
I don't think that's the kind of woman to represent Diana.
But you are.
I don't think a woman who slanders someone else on radio is the kind of woman to represent Diana.
It's not slander when it's true.
This is a private citizen.
Oh,
she's
me.
Not a public personality.
Excuse
well,
me. You are slandering
Eileen,
her here. I'm an attorney.
Eileen.
I happen to know what slander is.
Oh,
and you
all
are
of a sudden,
slandering her.
All of a
and,
sudden,
you
you're
know,
a lawyer, huh?
She can get a tape of this show, and she can sue you and your husband with your wonderful landscaping business for everything you're worth and
you know,
then
Eileen,
some.
You know, Eileen, she eats Vicodin like Tic Tacs.
You know?
You know?
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Bobby,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you something, Bobby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you something, Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
You need help.
You
need
something?
A life, and you need help.
I knew Diana so
and
well, and you're so
no, you
jealous.
You didn't know Diana. You did not know Diana.
You are hurting
you read
me.
Some magazine articles about her?
I read every
you did not know Diana. Diana would be appalled by what you're doing.
You know something? I'm
you are a very good woman, and any school that would employ you should have all of their administration fired.
Well, I don't think you even know what you're talking about. First
of all,
you said you're a lawyer.
Oh, I certainly do, dear. I certainly do.
Oh, you know
and
something?
And if I were you, I'd lock up my money really safe because your friend Carol Cooper is going to be suing you very soon.
She eats Vicodin-like Tic Tacs. Thank you very much, Eileen.
Oh, you're running away now. You're running? Carol Cooper. Good job.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Don't forget our Vegas trip now, 1-800-288-1000, 1-800-288-1000, ask for the Phil Hendry package, and let's get together and compare beer brands. Bring your own beer, though. You have to bring your own to this Vegas trip, man. You got to bring your own stuff. Just bring large cases of that chili stuff from Golden, Colorado, and some Rolling Rock.